any time where additional works are necessary beyond what I personally can do. This is an outside-of-the-box gift. This is a great, great gift. And Mark 6:37, this is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And so the day was far spent. Verse 35, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desert place. Now the time is far past. And send them away, Lord, that they may go into the country round about to the villages and buy themselves something to eat." Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." Now that is standing them right square in their tracks. They're emptying their pockets at this point. What in the world are you talking about? What do you mean, give them 5,000 people something? Anyway, so he goes and he tells them what to do. This is the gift of faith at work. Okay, another scripture is John 2, 7 and 8. I could honestly talk to you all night. I'm not exaggerating. I could talk to you all night on different things that the gift of faith has procured throughout the years. It's vehicles, motorhomes, motorcycles, everything for the ministry that I've needed. Money, travel, houses, lands. Unbelievable. And wives. Wife. Excuse me, wife. We still have but one wife in this ministry. Though we're accused of other things, but John 2, 7 and 8. This is the wedding, the account of the wedding. And this has always been hilarious to me, and it shows a lot. This is probably two nights here. This thing. There's a marriage in Galilee. Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Now, you know, Jesus and his disciples were not the popular 13-some in Jerusalem. Okay? These guys were not highly sought after entertainers. So for them to be asked to come to this wedding, the guy at the wedding had to have been hungry for the things of God. I mean, it's the only thing you can say about it. But anyway, they go, and when they wanted wine, they were running out of wine. The mother of Jesus says unto him, "They have no wine." This is Cece. Cece comes up to me and she says, "I have no house." Well, she may as well have said, "We have no wine. Here's some water." Really, when we were in Hawaii, I'm here and I'm spying the land out. She said, "We don't want to rent. We need to buy something." I got frustrated. I wanted to just say, "Woman, what do you not understand about having no credit and no money?" I mean, it's like all of a sudden she forgot who I was. Well, that's the thing, yeah. And you know what I did? Look what Jesus says. Mary says, "Son, they have no wine." Jesus said, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? I was invited to come to the wedding. It's enough that I'm here. Ivey." And she says, "They have no wine." What do I look like, the wine boy? And that's how I felt. What can I do? I can't buy a house. But you know what he did? He prayed. And that's exactly what I did. I was here and I got pretty upset about her continually saying we need to buy. So I took a walk and I prayed. I said, Lord, is this her or is it me? And that's all I prayed. I just said, Lord, if I'm supposed to do something here, help me. And do you know, by the time I went back to the room, Russ was with me. That's when we were here. And by the time I got back to the room and prayed, and Russ, I put Russ on the airplane. I went back to the room, and I prayed. I just prayed a little bit, went and walked and prayed, went back to the room. I was flooded with what?
Faith.
Faith and what other gift? The word of knowledge. And the word of wisdom. I started, some things were coming to me that already existed, which basically was knowledge. And the Lord gave me a revelation of it. And the word of wisdom. I was given direction and instruction what to do. And who to talk to. And what to say. The Lord, the Holy Ghost said to me, he told me where the donkey was and what to tell the guy that owned it. Which happened to be the woman that owned the house that we now own. I was given a word of wisdom as to exactly what to say to her. Remember the ranch?
Yeah.
When we went up, this I'm going to give you a little testimony here. I'll just divert a little. Said I'd do it, I'll do it. The gift of faith, I went to Wyoming to spy out the land. We looked at houses everywhere. We had no money, but we had promise of money. There was a promise of money. And it was a certain amount. I didn't know exactly how much, but I was told a ballpark figure. So we were looking. I had no money with me. I mean, no money to speak of. So we look at all these places, and it was between a Victorian house in the city and this ranch on 9 acres out of Ranchester. Which, you know, when we saw that, when I saw that up on that hill, and walked inside, it was all over. Because, see, that's what happened years ago before we were married. I broke into a house in Grand Junction, a 12-bedroom, I don't know how many, 7-bath house with a swimming pool. It was filled with dirt, but it had a swimming pool. And walked through this house and stood there, and I knew that house was ours. And I spoke it, and about 6 months later, we moved in. So this gift of faith is just an awesome, awesome gift. And you have to recognize it when it comes upon you. Because it's the kind of gift that when it starts working, it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. And it's far beyond your ability to fulfill. So, talk to the realtor. Well, I know that I want the ranch. No question about it. I don't care how much it is. It's ours. So we meet next day for breakfast. And we're getting ready to head back. Meeting for breakfast. And the word of wisdom gave me what to say to him. So I said, here's what I'll do. I'll write you a check for $2,000 right now. Hold the place. I said, I want to move in, I think it was May 1st. And I said, I'll pay $1,000 a month to move in for rent, which was $100 or $200 more than the guy that was in there was paying. I said, I'll give you $20,000 by June 20th. And I said, and I'll cash out before the end of the year, or all bets are off, you keep my $20,000. That's what the Holy Ghost gave me. So that's what I told him. Well, you kidding? Who wouldn't go for that? So he signed it. We went in, and it all worked out. And we ended up owners. Well, I had nothing. And what I did was, I said, wait till I get back. Wait till Monday. To Monday or Tuesday, cast a check. So real quick, I called Cece, and I said, we need to do a yard sale. So her and the girls got together and did a yard sale. Guess how much they made in the yard sale? $2,000. You ever had a $2,000 yard sale? They don't come too often. Of course, we all slept on the floor for the next year. No, just kidding. Sold everything we had. Sold some kids, you know. Okay. So, what's funny is Jesus here, he didn't want any part of it. And I didn't want any part of what CC was telling me. But as we all know, it worked. There were several that got involved. We owned the house. Yes, I know it. But, you know, the key here is, woman, what have I got to do with you? I'm just here at the wedding. Leave me alone. It's not my time yet. Don't you see that? Yes, dear. Would you please see if you could buy this house? Okay.
Look what she said. The next person, his mother, said
to the parents, do whatever he says. Take this woman away. Okay, the next one, gifts of healing. This is plural, meaning different methods. So there's obviously different methods of healing here. So let's look at the first one, Mark 2:5. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. They brought unto him one sick of the palsy, which he was paralyzed. And he was carried by 4 people. They couldn't get close to him because of the multitude. So they tore the roof off where he was, broke it up, and let the guy down on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven you. That's all he said. Rise and walk. Get off your bed. So, the first method, we'll use that word method, the paralytic was healed by what? Forgiveness. He was forgiven. Quite simple. I, by the way, have seen this. I've seen this happen. I've seen people repent in front of me for sins and seen them healed. Just on repenting. Okay, the next one, Mark 5:34. I can honestly say I've seen all of these manifestations have worked in my life over the last almost 30 years, with the exception of tongues. And I'll explain that. I do speak in other tongues, but that's not what that's talking about. It's more involved than just that. Okay, the next one is Mark 5:34. Okay, 5:34. And this talks about a certain woman that had an issue of blood for a number of years, 12 years, a flow of blood. And so we know the story. She presses into the multitude and grabs a hold of Jesus' garment. He feels virtue leaving him, and she gets healed. He doesn't lay hands on her. He doesn't speak the word to her. He doesn't forgive her. He doesn't do the sign of the cross. He doesn't do any of that. Verse 34, daughter, your faith has healed you. So she was healed by what? Not just faith. Her faith. You got to get a hold of this one. She was healed by her faith. Do you have any faith? That wasn't too convincing. Your faith has the ability and the potential. We just saw what the gift of faith did. The faith that you have laying the measure that you've been given by the Holy Ghost, and the gift of faith, the manifestation of faith, will meet every single need you have. And you don't even have to ask Jesus for it. All you have to do is operate in what you have. Well, I don't know how much I have, Brother Sullivan. Well, all you have to do to find out how much you have is what? Exercise it. You want to know how much weight you can lift? You'll never know by watching me lift. Okay, so the paralytic was healed by forgiveness. This woman was healed by her faith. Okay, the next one is Mark 9:14. This is the account of the mute. So the mute, this mute boy was brought to Jesus. And if you notice, all these are in Mark. And there's just a lot in Mark. And there's a lot of, most of the healings that happen in Mark happen this way. But the father cries out, said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And in verse, where are we at? In 19, or let's see, where am I? Oh, 9:14. Yeah, it's down a ways. I wanted to start us there. I should put through 25. Mark 9:14. You make a note of this, through 25. In verse 25, when Jesus saw the people run together, he rebuked the foul spirit and he said, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him and tore him, and came out of him, the young boy was healed. They saw him both speak and what?
When, a couple of weeks ago when you prayed for me, I had trouble hearing because I got that fear that hurts my ears. And at night that I got delivered,
Well, there, yeah. And you know what? Spirits will attach themselves to sicknesses. There's no two ways about it. And you'll end up recovering from the sickness and keep the effect or the after effect of it. You'll keep the symptom. I know some people that have symptoms after their sickness has left, they remain in the symptoms all the time. It's a spirit. So, and by the way, I charge you, that's a command. That's saying, I command you. The word charge is command. Okay, so how did he get healed? How did the mute child get healed? deliverance. So we have a healing with forgiveness. We have a healing with personal faith. We have a healing with deliverance. And then let's go to the last one, Acts 3, 6. We're all familiar with this one. John and Peter are going to the gate, going to pray. Acts 3, 6. They went to the temple together, the hour of prayer, and a lame man from his birth was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate, to ask for money and ask for alms to everybody who came to the temple. And it says, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He gave heed to them, expecting to receive something, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none. What I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. This man was healed by the word. This man was healed by the spoken word. And what I put here was healed by Peter's inspired words. Peter did not heal him. I said by Peter's inspired words. Peter merely spoke by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This guy was healed merely by words. Do we have a scripture? Psalm 107. He sent his word, didn't say through what means or medium. He sent his word and healed them. Pretty exciting stuff. So we have healing by salvation, forgiveness, which you could say salvation. Many times I've led people to the Lord and they've been healed of certain things. Matter of fact, if the gospel is presented correctly, if the Lord Jesus is presented and introduced correctly, people should experience healing when they're saved. Matter of fact, when I got saved, I wasn't in need of a physical healing, but when I got saved, I went through deliverance. Demons came out of me. I got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. It all happened at once. It wasn't stage, you know, and anything that was lacking when I got baptized in the ocean, just added to my faith. A lot of people, when they're baptized, have manifestations of healing and different things happen to them. And I know we have testimonies in here for that. So, it's exciting stuff. Okay, the next one, workings of power. Workings of power. Miracles or supernatural or outside the realm of natural or human ability. This is what's commonly referred to as the working of miracles. But because miracles, in one sense, miracles are used lightly. We say, oh, that was a miracle. No, that was just, you know, somebody that knows how to kick a ball 60 yards through a field, through the goalpost. That's all that is. And so workings of powers is really more perfectly correct. Now, let's go to Matthew 21:19. This is the account of the fig tree. What's interesting here is Jesus doesn't actively really do anything. He doesn't touch the tree. He doesn't do anything. He just speaks the word. And less than 24 hours later, they passed by the tree and it was wilted by the roots up, dead. This is the workings of powers. This is this gift, working in miracles, doesn't always necessarily come or have to come through the spoken word, but I would say most of the time it probably will. Another example would be, and I didn't write this down, but another example would be what? When Jesus calmed the sea. That's workings of powers. Spoken. Another one I've got written down here is Acts 13:11. And this is really a very, especially today, controversial activity that Brother Paul exercises. And it's the only time that I can think in Scripture that this happens. But did I get this right? 13, Acts 13:11. Okay. And this is Elymas, the sorcerer. And he withstands the ministry of Christ. And Paul is, and he, Paul was seeking to evangelize and lead the leader of this community to the Lord. This guy was standing between Paul and this man. This guy was resisting the Lord Jesus in something he was trying to do. This guy was totally given over to the work of the devil. Then Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's a key. That's the key. Please don't do this. Don't exercise this particular method of workings of power or miracles. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. That means he was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He set his eyes on him. He said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right way of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about to seek someone to lead him by the hand. Paul put blindness on this guy. That is a working of power by the spoken word. Jesus said what? "I only do what I see my Father do." Look at verse 11. "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you." What's Paul saying? He sees something, doesn't he? Paul was speaking to what he saw. So it didn't come out of his mind. You might be thinking, "Now how will I know if I'm ever called to do this?" If you don't like somebody, you're not. This has nothing to do with personal agendas. Okay? This has to do with being filled with the Holy Ghost and seeing. When you see it, you'll know it. There's been several times in ministry when I was preaching that I would see in the Spirit, see the Lord doing something. Call people out right in the middle, interrupt the message, call people out, pray for them, and see the glory of God. I don't know if any of you were, I don't know if you were in that meeting in Grand Junction, in that Assembly of God, it was filled with people, and I, halfway through my message, I pointed to Orville he's sitting back there. The church was full, a couple hundred people in this church, Sunday morning. I pointed to him, and I said, "Were you there?" And I said, "The Holy Ghost is on you." And the minute I said that, he stood up and started doing this. And I said, "The Holy Ghost is on you." I said, "I want you to come up here." He bounced up the aisle. I'm not kidding you. Never seen anything like it. Bounced up the aisle, and somebody laughed, said, "Well, it's a Pentecostal thing." No, this is a Holy Ghost thing. Bounced up the aisle, stood in front of me, and the Lord gave me a what?
Word
of wisdom. He told me what to do with this bouncing man. He said, "I want you to tell my people that I have anointed him and that they are to come up here and let him touch them. If they want to receive some of this glory, to have them come up and touch him." So I put him down in front of the, off the pulpit, in front of the pulpit there, and the procession started, and the whole church lined up and they started coming around. This guy bounced for 45 minutes. This guy didn't have a muscle in his body either. This guy was a car salesman. Now, I can't tell you what he felt like the next couple of days. But he bounced for four, and I'm not exaggerating either. It had to be at least 200 people. At least 45 minutes. And some of these people would not leave. I had to tell them, move on. Because they were getting raptured when they touched him. I mean, it was just, I never seen anything like it. It was a tremendous outpouring. Did you touch him, Cece? There's another situation. Well, a lot of these things have happened, but, and she was in a different bouncing escapade, I guess. But so anyway, that was just an awesome thing.
This is the conclusion of tape number one, Gifts of the Spirit. This message will be continued on tape number two.